From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to Up North News on the radio. I'm Up North News founding editor Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you here, whether you're listening on the radio like Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau or online. We've got a Facebook page at Bull Falls Radio, also at Up North News Show. Luke, did I get that right?
I believe we're working on the Facebook page for the show, but we got a Twitter handle for the show. So that's at Up North News Show.
So we've got Up North News Show for the radio show, Up North News WI for our main product, the news stories that we work on every day. And we're here starting the show only because this particular Mega Millions ticket did nothing. It just helped whoever in Illinois had the real one. So we're here, we're working. But we're working in a good cause. We're going to make radio pleasant again. We're going to make it fact-based. And so I want to talk for a bit about the organizations that are putting this together, the entrepreneurs, the idea people, if you will. Civic Media is the name of the radio group that is building a network of stations, hometown stations across Wisconsin. And the notes from people smarter than me say, at Civic Media, we believe radio has an important role to play in supporting the community with quality local news and commentary. We're going to focus on local, regional, and state issues and current events that are most relevant to our listeners and combine that with open and honest commentary to advance our collective understanding and engagement. So as we continue adding stations to that, we hope that you will be part of the Civic Media family. Up North News itself, this particular program is part of something called Courier Newsroom. And that is a network of 8 state-based news sites. And I helped co-found Up North News, the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom. We also have the Gander in Michigan. We have the Keystone in Pennsylvania, the Cardinal and Pine in North Carolina, Floriquas in Florida, the Dogwood in Virginia, and the Copper Courier in Arizona. So if you're listening in any of those states or know people that do feel free to let them know about those. And our most recent addition, Iowa Starting Line. Iowa Starting Line, one that already previously existed. Pat Renard doing a fantastic job as the founding editor of that one and following Iowa news as well. Courier Newsroom itself is also described as a civic media company and dedicated to reporting on issues across the country. We hold ourselves to high journalistic standards, but we're also not afraid to stand for something. That, to me, is what has been, I don't know, for lack of a better term, a cancer on news coverage. And it's not necessarily, again, out of ill intent, but both sides-ism has been taken to such an extreme that it is actually doing you and me, you know, the citizen, the voter, the taxpayer, a disservice when you equate things, when you simply parrot, whether it's Tom Tiffany or anybody else, you know, advancing the big lie about election fraud. You're not doing a favor to your listeners, to your readers, to your viewers with the old, you know, and meanwhile, others say, it's come back to that old journalistic adage. It is not a journalist's job to say, he says it's cloudy, she says it's sunny. It's the journalist's job to open the damn window and tell you who's right and who's not. And it's not that every story is black and white. There are incredible shades of gray across the spectrum of any issue, but be as accurate as you can about that shade of gray. I am happy to see more newsrooms being more honest about, you know, what's been called the big lie, because that's what it is, a lie. We're not playing some say quite as often with that anymore. It took a little while, but it got there. Certainly a lot faster than it took media to get used to calling something that was gerrymandered, gerrymandered. We certainly tried to let people know about that in 2011 when the Wisconsin legislature first rigged the maps to have a clearly unfair to the point of corrupt majority in the Wisconsin legislature, but you know, newsrooms were very hesitant to use the word gerrymander to describe it. Now, all these years later, just about any Wisconsin newsroom talking about the way the maps are fairly and accurately calls them gerrymandered, because you have a situation where you can't gerrymander an entire state. So in statewide elections, you have Tony Evers winning and Tammy Baldwin winning, and collectively in all the legislature, again, Democratic voters outnumber Republican voters. And yet Republicans have a near supermajority in both houses of the legislature because of the way the maps have been rigged. I refer to myself as a poster child for that, because I can look right out this window and see the 3rd congressional district. Because at the time when I was running against Sean Duffy, they redrew the congressional district map to bring the line out to take Chippewa Falls, which is over this way, out of the district, and to take Stevens Point and Wisconsin Rapids out of the district and put it into the 3rd district and put St. Croix County into the 7th district. Now that's being widely recognized as gerrymandering, but we just had the toughest time getting it accurately described at the time. It's the maps we have to live with, but we're still going to call things as we see them. To that end, there are 4 candidates running in the 3rd congressional district, and we're going to have all 4 of them on this week, 3 of them tomorrow. In our 8 o'clock hour, we will have Deb Baldus McGrath. In our 9 o'clock hour, Rebecca Cook. And in our 10 o'clock hour, Brad Paff. And then we will have Mark Newman in our 10 o'clock hour, I believe. Let me confirm. No, our 9 o'clock hour on Thursday. So that's all coming up here on Up North News. And I'm Pat Quitelow. We'll take a break and be back after that.
Bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Back with you at Up North News, upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Quitelow. Thankful for your presence here on this Monday, August 1st. New week, new month, new show. Glad you're a part of it. We had Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg on during the first hour, talking about the many ups and downs of being a mayor, from, you know, having the attention that comes with goats to the hostility of a state natural resources board with a renegade member who won't do anything about industrial chemicals polluting our waters. In our 9 o'clock hour, Nancy Stensel joined us to talk about another mining proposal that threatens the clean water of the North Woods and what you can do about that. And as previously mentioned, but I'm going to say it again, all 4 of the candidates for 3rd congressional district will join us this week. 3 of them tomorrow, Deb McGrath, Rebecca Cook, and Robert Craig. Rebecca Cook and Robert Craig of Citizen Action will join us on Wednesday, and he'll be very surprised to hear that he's running for Congress now. We will also be joined Wednesday in our 10 o'clock hour by Kristen Lyerly and Kirk Bankstead, my former partners in crime on the Wednesday night radio show. For the past year and a half, we have run out of a radio station in the Madison area and then later in the Waukesha area as well. A little program on Wednesday nights during the 7 o'clock hour called the Up North Podcast, which is actually something that is run by Kirk Bankstead and his Minocqua Brewing Company and the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC that he helped start. And the whole reason he got behind starting a weekly radio show and podcast that he boosts on social media up north is, again, to provide that voice that is Wisconsin-centered and is not afraid to stand for our values, and that, you know, those values are not in line with what you're typically hearing on what is overwhelmingly right-wing media across Wisconsin and across the country. So I will always be indebted to Kirk for bringing that voice back to, in podcast form and in radio to Wisconsin. But now he and Kristen Lyerly, doctor, OBGYN, and advocate from the Green Bay area, they are going to now bring their Wednesday night shtick to Wednesday mornings instead. So Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock, they will join me. And that's where we will do our hour's review of headlines and talk to special guests and such. On Thursday, as I mentioned, Mark Newman, candidate for Congress, will join us along with Kiev Akil. He is the Up North News Courier Newsroom national correspondent based out west. He works on bringing national stories to the statewide perspective, like for For example, some of his most recent work includes breaking down what the national Republican congressional plan would mean, you know, in Wisconsin. It wouldn't be great. Spoiler alert on that. But he takes a lot of the national stories. He summarizes what's been happening with the January 6th committee, for example. And that certainly has had its share of Wisconsin tie-ins from Ron Johnson and others. So Keel will join us on a regular basis to tell us about the national stories that he's working on. And on Friday, we will get to meet Christina Laurie, our reporter with Up North News, who works on lifestyle features for us and has a very specific aim to bring good news as often as possible, to show off the positive side of Wisconsinites working well with each other and doing good for each other. Because, again, there's enough for us to debate about most of the time without getting, you know, without getting bogged down to the point where we never take a break and appreciate what we have all around us. And Christina Laurie is very good about that. Next week's guest includes Sean Fetteplace from the Main Street Alliance. And I'm really looking forward to that conversation because people have been talking for years about when are we going to have an alternative to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is the big business lobby. I think you could arguably say they are the de facto state government during the Scott Walker years and continue to be the de facto Wisconsin legislature. What Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce wants, what big business wants, is what this legislature gives to them. And people have said forever, when are we going to see an alternative to this? And Main Street Alliance has finally formed that group. It is a growing group of small and mid-sized Wisconsin businesses that are taking a break from what they do from time to time. Previously, they said, I can't take a break for politics. You know, I'm busy trying to make a living. They now understand, as we discussed with Nancy Stensel last hour, politics matters. You have to pay attention to it. It affects your business, your small business, your bottom line. And so more of them are joining Main Street Alliance, and Sean Fetteplace will join us to talk about the work that the group is doing in informing entrepreneurs who then turn around and, you know, inform their workers, their customers, and make us all better voters as a result. Also next week, Angela Lang from BLOC, community action group from the Milwaukee area, again, talking about bringing an awareness of election issues to, you know, a population of voters that, again, may have already thrown their hands up and said, I don't have time for politics. And Angela's among many saying, you need to make time for this. You need to study these issues because, again, they are so important to you and your day-to-day life. It's not just, you know, who's president. Donald Trump, Joe Biden, they have a limited impact on your day-to-day life compared to who is your state legislator, who represents you on the county board and on the school board, as we've learned this year as well. If you have ideas for guests, for topics, you can email us. You can email this fine radio show, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI. And if you'd like to give us a ring during the show, whether we have guests or just when we do an open line, that phone number is 715-388-7155. Luke, I've done what I can to start to, you know, kind of prime the pump with guests here.
I'm so excited. You just ran through a gambit of just fabulous guests. And so I'm looking forward to all of those conversations.
It's been a crazy few days here to try to get the show ready. But as I mentioned earlier, I mean, you've had to do your part as well. Is this a relatively new endeavor of building a show from scratch, or are you going to tell me you've already done this with some, like, you know, Emmy award winning, you know, shows out there?
I wouldn't say Emmy award winning, but Brian and I last fall, it was an exciting time because we were getting ready to gear up for the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM launching here as a part of our network, and Brian and I were tasked with finding a relevant program to put from 2 to 3 p.m. And so Brian, Kelly, and I, producer extraordinaire, whatever his official title is. We got to have the fun of building a show from the ground up as well. And it's a little more goofball, I guess you could say, than what I think you're doing, Pat. You've got the professionalism. Brian and I are kind of, we like to talk about the headlines, but then we also like to talk about just random stuff, which is why we call the show Dueling Tangents, because we have many trains of thoughts in our ability to keep an eye on what's going on in the news and also help build this radio network that we're building.
Don't ever insult me again by saying I'm not a goofball. I will.
That's fair enough. I'm just saying the show is more goofball-y than what the professional nature that you bring to sharing. Your two interviews today were already conducted with absolute professionalism, and it was fantastic to hear both Mayor Rosenberg and Nancy share their stories of what's going on in Wausau and Marathon County.
Well, clearly, I've already got expectations that I've got to break here, so we'll definitely work on that in the meantime. We are going to have a lovely day up here in northern Wisconsin. Temperatures will get into the upper 70s once the clouds break. Sun's going to come through, but it won't be nearly as humid. I can tell you up here on Lake Wissota, things were loud last night in terms of thunder and some lightning, but virtually nothing in the old rain gauge. And I've already alluded to the cornfield across the street, and man, those leaves are getting real pointy, where they're just like, you know, begging for any kind of moisture to come in. So I do hope that we get that real soon. It's been great boating weather, boated up river.
I can imagine if it's dry, then it's excellent weather for being out on the lake. I got woken up last night because we had both the thunder and the lightning here and a little bit of a downpour in my neck of the woods. So I like to sleep with the window open, and the dog and I wake up very often when it starts raining in the middle of the night then.
I will admit to sleeping like a baby last night, only because I was awake most of the previous night trying to get things ready for the show here, but also coming off what had turned out to be another, just perfect family vacation. I mentioned earlier, I've got two adult daughters. They live in other states, each with two kids now. And I've been very fortunate that for, you know, each year, we've been able to get everybody together for a week, either here or, you know, someplace else. You know, we've done the Disney World trip and things like that. But we just finished a week here where, it was so nice to see the house messy again with toys, you know, everywhere. Xbox stuff everywhere from the 15-year-old who brought a friend along with him. Luke, it's been good weather for it. But it's not like I said, not like we don't need the rain. But people, which one of these camps are you in? Some camps are like, it's August 1st. Oh my God, summer's almost over, you know, and they're panic stricken. And then there's folks like me. It's like, it's August 1st. We still have all of August and part of September, but I don't know. Are you in that glass half empty? Oh my God, summer's almost over.
I'm in the glass where I think I side more with you on that one, but the back to school stuff already is killing me. Like I understand I'm in my late 20s now, so I don't have a young one going through the back to school. I can understand the preparations for it because I'm sure it's a hassle. I'm sure it takes a lot and you have to prepare for that. But seeing all the back to school ads just are really upsetting. My nephew and godson's birthday is September 15th though. And I use his birthday now to mark the end of summer. That's the end of summer to me. Once we're celebrating with him for his birthday, then I'm like, okay, let's get into fall mode. But up until then I'm with you. It's a glass half full.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've had plenty of Septembers that are perfectly pleasant. my wife asked me yesterday, it's like, have you set up a date yet for the boat and the boat lift and the dock and everything to come out? We've got some great folks that live on our street, started something called Wissota Dock that takes care of it. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that yet. Now there have been times we've waited too long and I've had to take the boat back to the boat ramp with, snow flurries coming down, but that's not happening anytime soon.
I was going to say, that's not happening in August though, right? That's if you wait too long into September or October, not August.
Yeah. You do have to plan those things out. And I will say, I'm very thankful for, the young men who have started a company like that for the better part of a decade. All of us on the street along the lake here, put in our docks ourselves, took out the docks, the boat lifts and everything. As we've gotten older with a little more, you know, aches and pains and dropping things on somebody's foot and what have you, we've decided this is a young man's game and that we are no longer young men. So I'm thankful that we've got somebody that can help take care of that seasonal matter, because that's just more time to enjoy the pontoon. But that's the whole reason you have it, is to putt-putt. We'll take a break. We'll have more of Up North News, the daily radio show, coming up in just a moment. In the dark, the day.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. You're listening to Up North News.
Hey everyone, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Luke Mathers here, our producer as well. Thanks for being a part of our show on this Monday morning as we get things started here, and appreciate your input either by phone at 715-388-7155 or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Turning back to news and headlines today, I am surprised that we have to still be talking about this bill that's going to be voted on in the U.S. Senate today. But Ron Johnson illustrates part of why we're still talking about this particular bill. This bill would assist veterans who've been exposed to burn pits. For the uninitiated, In those war zones of Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere, you don't have the luxury of, you know, running to the dump. You know, you make your own landfill, you know, right where you are, wherever the troops are, and everything goes in there and is burned the way that all trash used to be back in the day. And that includes some toxic stuff, and all of that contamination has been affecting and injuring and killing fellow Americans who served in these war zones. We can't possibly think that there's anything right about putting our troops in harm's way for a time when it serves us, and then not serving them when they come home with issues that were brought about by their service. Have we learned nothing from Agent Orange in the Vietnam era? You would think that this would be, again, a no-brainer, but it is not. More needs to be done for our veterans, and that is what led to this particular bill that we're discussing right now that would increase that assistance to vets who are exposed and who need treatment. It is a bill that Jon Stewart, former host of The Daily Show, has been advocating for, knowing that veterans needed that extra voice, and he's had a lot to say this weekend since it was discovered that that bill that we all thought had passed Congress, you know, a little over a month ago, didn't actually pass. And here's where we got to get into the weeds a little bit on the process of passing a bill and the filibuster. Everybody understands, I think, by now, the filibuster, in that is the term used to essentially talk a bill to death. That's what senators will do, is just unlimited debate. Well, over time, that has been curtailed, but it has also been abused to the point now where it takes 60 votes to end a filibuster, and then you can vote on a bill, and then the bill just needs a simple majority to pass, 51 votes. Still takes 51 votes to pass a bill, but it takes 60 votes to get you to that final vote to say, okay, should we cut off debate? Or can senators continue to talk this to death and you never actually have to vote on the bill? Well, that is what was attempted with this bill to assist veterans exposed to burn pits. There was a vote on whether to let the bill go to a final vote, or will it continue to be endlessly debated, filibustered. And Ron Johnson was among some of the Senate Republicans who voted to allow the filibuster to continue, which is in essence a vote to kill the bill. Now, they will take great umbrage to that, but it is what it is, and we're going to call it like we see it. The bill overcame that hurdle, this procedural hurdle, then went up for a final vote. And in the final vote, Ron Johnson did vote for the bill. And, you know, his office and his allies were quick to point that out. We voted for this bill to help veterans. Well, yeah, but after you voted to kill the bill. Well, we thought the bill had passed, but the bill had an error in it, in drafting. Not going to get into the weeds about it right now, but it needed to be fixed, which meant the bill needed to come up for a vote again. And we should note that when it came up in the House before it went to the Senate the first time through, every Wisconsin Republican voted against it. So it's come up again, and late last week, there should have just been an easy revote, right? Everybody who voted for the bill, which I think it had 84 or 86 votes, you know, including Ron Johnson's, should have sailed through, right? It did not. It was blocked. That vote to continue to filibuster, and essentially a vote to kill the bill by not letting it come up for a final vote, Ron Johnson was once again on the side of those voting to kill this bill that would assist veterans. Now, you probably have heard that the opposition had nothing to do with our veterans, nothing whatsoever. We love our veterans, but this bill, you know, creates some kind of a slush fund, which is such a straw man argument, such a boogeyman, such as John Stewart used more colorful language than I could use here on the radio. But for that extra spending to take place that's in the bill, so many things would have to come together. I mean, this is such a what if that essentially Congress would have to say, yeah, we don't need to vote on that extra spending. Go ahead. Who thinks Congress is going to do that? If the VA wanted to spend a dollar more than was already allocated, you know, Republicans would hold that vote in a heartbeat to strike down that $1, much less $400 million. So it's simply a scenario that is not realistic at all. But it was a convenient excuse to play politics and vote no on the bill. So as I understand it, and headlines might have changed this morning, but that bill is going to come up again for a vote in the Senate. So once again, let's see if Ron Johnson and several other Republican senators who thought they had this gotcha moment late last week have heard enough from veterans and others to do the right thing and vote for the bill the way they did just over a month ago, and get this kind of thing done. Now, look what I just did over the past, let's see, 6 minutes. It is in 6 minutes, I have talked about the process of passing a bill through the Senate and how somebody could vote against a bill before they could vote for it. There is no newscast out there that is going to take 6 minutes to explain this to its audience. And if you had to explain it in a newspaper, it would take so many column inches. And by the way, who picks up a newspaper anymore? Everybody wants their hot take. And to get this all done, get it done in 30 seconds so we can put it on an Instagram reel. Well, some things can't fit into an Instagram reel. Some things can't fit into a TikTok. And I'm not going to dance to explain the news. No matter how much my bosses keep telling me I should get on TikTok and dance the news, I'm not going to do it. My bosses haven't actually asked me to do that, but I'm going to keep lying about that anyway, because it's funny. Who wants to see this old guy dance? But again, you need that. That's part of the reason why we are starting a program like this. It's not everyone's cup of tea. Not everyone's going to sit through, you know, every day when Pat does a little explainer on the news. But I hope more of you do, just to at least in your own 30-second way, then share at the coffee shop or whatever when somebody says, oh, I heard that burn pits bill was, you know, actually a slush fund. You can say, no, it's actually not. It doesn't spend more money. It's more politicians playing games with veterans. And get that out to folks so that you're hearing more about an issue than a 30-second political ad. You know, coming back to Ron Johnson here, there are all kinds of 30-second political ads talking about what a good guy he is and how he's fighting waste. Those 30-second ads, by and large, are from a political action committee. Not just any political action committee, but a political action committee funded by three billionaires with Wisconsin ties. And those billionaires reaped millions upon millions of dollars in benefits when Ron Johnson passed a sweetheart tax deal in the 2017 tax bill. That 2017 tax bill already had an exemption for a certain type of corporation. It's called a pass-through corporation. And it's where, you know, instead of the company paying a corporate income tax, it's the owner that essentially pays, you know, personal income tax on it. There's already a good tax break for pass-through corporations. Ron Johnson said he would not vote for President Trump's 2017 tax bill, which was already heavily skewed toward the rich, unless that exemption were sweetened. And it got through. And as a result, Ron Johnson can truthfully say, Ron Johnson is being 100% true when he says that by his doing that, it benefited small businesses. Yes, it did. But it also, because there was no ceiling on it, benefited billionaires who have pass-through businesses as well. And again, it saved those billionaires millions upon millions of dollars, which they are now able to create a political action committee, a PAC, and run ads saying Ron Johnson has benefited all kinds of small business owners, even though the vast majority of the tax savings from that extension went to the wealthiest taxpayers. It's been studied by Federal Reserve economists. That sweetheart tax deal was so heavily skewed toward billionaires and the upper 1% and needs to be reined in. And there is now a bill put forward by Democrats to put a limit on that pass-through tax credit so that, again, it benefits who it's supposed to benefit, small Wisconsin entrepreneurs. I'm sure we will talk about this with Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance next week. There are policies that are good for small Wisconsin businesses, but it doesn't mean we have to do it at the expense of billionaires. But again, you know, we needed about 5 minutes here to explain why those nice, fluffy Ron Johnson ads by a pack with a generic name aren't Ron Johnson ads. They're billionaire ads. And we're going to have to, Luke, break down some of that. Well, I'm sure from time to time, we're just going to play the ads and then break them down from there.
Perfect. And I always get a good chuckle because the super PAC that is, it's like, it's not a better Wisconsin, but it's something, one of those fluffy names, like you said, but it's not even registered in the state. It's registered like down in Texas, I believe. So it's a bunch of millionaires and billionaires putting money into a super PAC in a different state that then is funneling that money back to Wisconsin through those media buys. And it's pretty outrageous to see when you follow the money. And we've got some excellent organizations in the state of Wisconsin that do follow that money. I always like to keep an eye on what they're reporting out for what's going on with Ron Johnson and his campaign and just campaigns in general, because money in politics, in my opinion, is one of those things you always have to be keeping an eye on, because it's usually a good explainer for a lot of the reasons why what's going on in politics is going on in politics.
Right. And I mean, so much of it comes back to the Supreme Court Citizens United decision in 2010. And I remember where I was. I was sitting in my state Senate office in the state capitol when I heard the news that the Supreme Court had made this terrible decision that, in essence, leads to unlimited corporate money in politics, not directly to the candidate, but, you know, unlimited funds into PACs like this one that was created. And it's actually called Wisconsin Truth.
Oh, there we go. Wisconsin Truth.
I had to pull up the article that I did for Up North News, published it back on July 8th. So if you go to upnorthnewswi.com and, you know, look under our stories about Ron Johnson, you will see that you'll read more about the, you know, this massive tax loophole that was created. But as a result, you have these billionaires with Uline, the supply company, and ABC Supply. These three billionaires with these companies, have reaped so much in benefits that they've been able to take millions of their savings and create a super PAC and fund it and continue to fund, you know, give campaign contributions directly to Ron Johnson as well. The Ulines are no stranger to this. I mean, they have put, you know, tens of millions, if not more, into right-wing causes. They were also the ones who were infected with COVID while at the White House with former President Donald Trump during his election night party. So you know, these are the things we want to tell you about behind the scenes, and to tell you that, yes, even Joe Manchin, the renegade Democratic senator, you know, agrees there should be a cap on this pass-through benefit, $400,000 for individuals, $500,000 for couples. So not billionaires, but entrepreneurs who can benefit from a tax code that works for the people, not a tax code that leads to billionaires creating super PACs to not tell you the whole story on elections. We're going to try to do a good job of telling you the whole story as we go through these last 99 days till the November elections. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We will be back to wrap up the show after this.
Live from Lake Wissota, here is the farming editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Now, that's the voice of my friend Don Rue. He and I worked together at WAQE Radio in Rice Lake back in 1986, 87, somewhere in that area. Thrilled to still keep in touch with him. And whenever I can get him on, we're going to share the car wash story from Rice Lake and how we learned the hard way not to upset local advertisers on a small town radio station, but you're going to like it. Luke, I asked you before about George Jetson, and you know, again, because I can't do enough to make myself feel older, I have to tell you that one of our Wisconsin feature stories at upnorthnewswi.com is about some of the best waterfalls in Wisconsin that you can find around the state. And
I saw that one. I did see that one. I know where we're going here.
I played with the headline a bit. The headline is yes, do go chasing waterfalls. And then in the lead, I said, or in the subhead, something about, you know, these aren't the rivers and lakes that you're used to. And it came back from my very young copy editor with, well, you ended that sentence with a preposition, you know, the rivers and lakes that you're used to. And so I fixed that and something else. And it immediately became clear to me, she did not get the reference at all about chasing waterfalls.
Yeah, that's not one that would have went over my head. I'm not that young, so.
I mean, that's classic rock now? That's
I do always cringe a little bit because I grew up listening to the oldie station with my dad. Like, that is, my dad and I always play it, like, when we're driving in the car together, it's always the first person to name, and it's a little bit harder now because you got all these song IDs on the dashboard and stuff, so it's not as fun. But we were just up in the UP, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and we listened to the classic rock station up there, and it's always name the artist, name the song, and then we'll go down, even name the year, name the album, who's on drums, who's on guitar. And so my dad and I have a lot of fun with music trivia, and when I'm listening to a classic rock station and Green Day comes on or something like that, it just it throws me off because I love Green Day. I don't have a problem with Green Day. But in some people's mind, that's categorized now as classic rock, just like TLC, you're saying. And that's, to me, is just, that is a little cringeworthy.
Luke Mathers, old man, already becoming an old man. It was a fun game of ours when I anchored the news at Channel 13 in Eau Claire for many years. And for a time, our sports anchor, Chris Earle, who went on to become a long-running news anchor in Iowa and now in Florida. But Chris and I would do this back and forth, but we would just do it by when it charted. So I would throw out a song title. I had the Billboard magazine book of top 40 hits, and I would just throw a song out. And he was uncanny to be able to say, you know, August 1982. And sure enough, I would look, and that's when a particular song had charted. We didn't get to the point of learning drummers. That's a deep cut right there.
I played the drums all growing up, so that's usually the one my dad would like to test me on then. But he goes down it. He is like a music catalog. I don't know if he could necessarily pinpoint the month and year that it charted, but he could tell you a whole backstory on every, like, the band that the members were in previously, or who they went on to form, and everything like that. So it's always, I get a good kick out of listening to the radio with my dad.
Well, let's take this right to the show level then, because I picked for the show's theme the intro and the outro of Crossfire by Stevie Ray Vaughan, not only because it's a killer song that has a good open and a good close, but does have a good message. And again, you're going to know my political leanings, but by and large, a lot of us feel like we're in the crossfire, especially with as much misinformation going around as there is. But back to the song itself, Luke. Who was that drummer for Stevie Ray Vaughan? You can make up something. I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer either. I see.
So we've got to figure out who does that signature drum lick.
Yeah, the little drum lick at the beginning. It's one of the harder things with bands that they go by the name, like the frontman. Like I couldn't tell you who the Heartbreakers drummer was at any given time or anything like that, because you got the main Tom Petty, and so that Tom Petty is Tom Petty, but same I guess with Stevie Ray Vaughan. I don't know who's on his kit. So
I think that we've stumbled upon our first listener trivia question. Google it, but I'm just gonna wait for somebody else to tell me. I don't have any more of these Up North News coffee mugs. I got to get some of these, because there's no reason we can't have some swag to give to people for their trivia knowledge, whether it's of music or Wisconsin history or whatever we're going to hit them up with. But that would work for me, is to give it a little trivia twist, especially if we can help people feel old.
I love trivia. That's one of my favorite things to do is trivia. So it's been an interesting couple of years for that, though, because bar trivia, it's starting to come back now, but like it was one of the things that I had a hard time finding again once places started opening back up. But me and my friends, we still occasionally go, and I'm always a sucker for trivia, whether it's Trivial Pursuit or bar trivia, anything like that. You're asking, I'm playing.
Brewers lose to the Red Sox 7-2, but they still take 2 out of 3. Day off before they head to Pittsburgh. The trade deadline is tomorrow, so I'm wondering, Luke, people are kind of split. Are the Brewers buyers or sellers, or standing pat and saying we're about to get some people back, and should I be worried about yesterday's loss? I mean, they were really spiraling before the All-Star break. Now they've been on fire since the All-Star break, at least until yesterday.
Well, 7-2 run since they came back from that break, so I'm not too worried. I doubt to see them as I have a hard time believing that when you're in the lead of your division that you're the selling team. Like you're gonna, I have a feeling the Brewers are probably gonna acquire somebody. I have a feeling it's gonna be on the mound. I don't know if we're gonna look for a mid reliever, or I mean, Hader was part of that big slump right before the All-Star break, but it'll be interesting to see. I have a feeling they're gonna make a splash before the trade deadline, but I don't think it's gonna be a huge name like some of the market is trading right now.
Hader was in such a slump, and yet as a father and a grandfather now, I totally knew, of course it coincided with, the new baby arriving, and you never blame family. You just don't, but you saw the two and you felt for him, because, I mean, even if he has 24/7 nannies, and I'm sure he does family time, and it does take a toll. And I don't remember his child's name, but I'm sure that it's going to come up once or twice, when that child gets older. You were responsible for quite a slump, back in the day.
Not even just a slump. I think it might have been the end of a huge streak for Hader, but that's
it was the end of a streak, and it was not a slump. It was a flat out crash and burn. I mean, it was, and we all have that. We've all been there. Not at the major league level, but you gotta. You got to pick yourself up and come on back. No matter how bad things were, you got to try again tomorrow. That's my motto for this show. As we're signing off, we'll try not to crash and burn too terribly tomorrow either, and bring you back here for Up North News, the new daily radio show, weekdays from 8 to 11 online and on the radio. Thanks so much, Luke. Hope you have a great day too.
Thanks. You as well, Pat. We'll be back tomorrow.
All right. Catchy sign off some other time. Instead, listen to the end of the song, and we'll see you tomorrow.